Money and the fear of God. The summary verse, which I won't really be dealing with, is Ecclesiastes 12:13. The first phrase, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The King James margin says you could translate that, the end of the matter, even all that hath been heard is. And so you hear the drum roll. Now, here's the final conclusion. Everything that I've said before comes down to this. Fear God. And in the fearing, keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. This is the whole of man, literally. This is everything for man. The fear of God is so important in worship that it is sometimes used as a synonym for it. A worshiper of God is often referred to as one that fears him. This then is not surprising. Psalm 2:11. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. There is this attitude that we're not the ones in charge, that our life is but our connection with him. Now, the fact of the matter is then that only the true believer fears God. I say true believer because there are those who believe in the wrong thing, those who believe falsely in some way. But the true believer fears God, and I want to find out how money relates to our fear of God. It was this first series of verses that I searched out that convinced me that what we were looking at here is a relationship. This isn't just being intimidated by God. There's enough of that, you see. There is that because he's all-powerful. He does according to his will. But this is a far more personal thing. This is the relationship of fearing God. I want to deal then, first of all, with understanding fear as a relationship. This was remarkable to me. This was something. How could I have missed this all this time? As I studied the fear of God, I began with the idea of fearing a strict master, of fearing one who could punish me terribly. You see. But then I saw all the benefits that he promises those that fear him. And I'm thinking, that doesn't fit with the picture that I had of fearing the strict master. Who gives you benefits for that, you see? I realized it was a different kind of fear. And I went back and found that the very first time fear and father are put together in the same verse is Leviticus 19:3. There he says, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. What we're seeing here is that the fear of God, and let me back up to say, God could create any way he wanted, you know. He made families. He made fathers and mothers to produce children, you see. There are, you know, plants pollinate and develop their children in that way. These are just, God can do it any way he wants. But he chose this and then took upon himself the name Father. Father is not a name from eternity past. It's a name that comes out of creation. Father, Son, that's a relationship pictured in the creation. So what he did was he made us in such a way that we could understand who he is to his Son, who the Son is to him, and who we can be to him. He created us so that we could understand something that would be very difficult otherwise. As you should fear your parents. And what does that mean? It means respect. It means listen to them. It means understand they've been around the block a few more times than you have as a kid, see? It means that they know what they're talking about. We have emphasized to us today the abusive father, the sitcom father who's stupider than a bag of rocks. This is not what the Father should be, because God wants us to think of him as the Father. So God's law described the child's relationship to his parents as fear. And then we find Psalm 103:13, this comparison. Like as a father pitieth his children, the father's relationship to the children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Do you see the parallel? A father having pity, mercy, love for his children is the same as the Lord having that relationship to those who fear him. Children and fearing him are compared here. We find again in 1 Peter 1:17, and if you call on the Father, Peter tells the people he's writing to, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, if you're a saved person, if you call on the Father, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. What is past the time of your sojourning? Your sojourning is your pilgrimage through this world. You belong to him. Your citizenship as a Christian is in heaven. You happen to live here, wherever here happens to be. You are here. This is where you're living. This is the place of your sojourning, of your pilgrimage. You are here temporarily until he takes you home. Your king is Jesus. Your political leader is Jesus, you see. And this is the point that he's making. While you're here dealing with what this world has, he says, remember your relationship. You call on your Father, spend the time here in fear of him. That Father relationship. Spend your life living in the loving fear, the serving fear of your Heavenly Father. We realize that our Heavenly Father is not that ignorant father of the sitcoms. We recognize he's not the impotent father who screams for obedience but cannot enforce anything. He is not the abusive father of the world. He is omniscient, knows everything, more than what we can imagine. He knows what even might be. He has all power. But his relationship to us is love. I guess I was surprised that it took me this long with the focus that we've been trying to put on the love of God to realize that the fear of God is not in contrast to this, but is part and parcel of it. We do not need a cringing fear of our Father unless we fail to enter into the Father-Son relationship with him. If he's not your Father, you need to fear. A cringing fear is pretty good. Jesus said this. Look at the contrast. Luke 12:32. Fear not. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to give you this relationship, to give you this welcome into his family. Fear not about what your Father is planning to do. Who is he talking to? Those that have the relationship with Christ, through Christ. But Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Who is that? Well, that's God. So he says, fear not, and then he says, fear. He was talking to two different kinds of people, see. One of those who are his children, fear not in that sense, but fear, cringing fear. Well, what brought me to this place, realization, was all the benefits. I want to share with you the nine spiritual benefits, that are blessings that I found, our Father promises us. Number one, God will take pleasure in you when you enter into that fear relationship. Psalm 147:11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. I appreciated Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He said, who are these favored men in whom Jehovah takes pleasure? Some of them are the least in his family, who have never risen beyond hoping and fearing. Others of them are more fully developed, but still they exhibit a blended character composed of fear and hope. They fear God with holy awe and filial reverence. Filial is family reverence. They also hope for forgiveness and blessedness because of the divine mercy, as a father takes pleasure in his own children. See, he saw this connection. So doth the Lord solace himself in his own beloved ones, whose marks of the new birth are fear and hope. They fear, for they are sinners. They hope, for God is merciful. They fear him, for he is great. They hope in him, for he is good. Their fears sobers their hope. Their hope brightens their fear. God takes pleasure in them, both in their trembling and in their rejoicing. As a father who senses the respect of his children, he also loves them. He takes pleasure in them. Secondly, second blessing, God will accept you. Acts 10:34-35. Peter opened his mouth. He's talking to Cornelius, who just got saved, and he was a Gentile. And he said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. This fear relationship is the acceptance with God. We recognize this because God accepts no one except through the family relationship of salvation. We learn this from Ephesians 1:5-6. Having predestinated us, the us, as Pastor Porter brought out, those who trust in Jesus. Predestined us, those who trust in Jesus, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted to him in the beloved, Jesus Christ. Third blessing, God will treat you as tender children. How obvious was this? Why didn't I see this earlier? Psalm 103:13, which I pointed out earlier, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The fourth blessing, God will watch over you in mercy. You know who needs mercy? Guilty people. You know, you meet a stranger, you say, mercy on me. No, this is somebody who condemns you. You're asking for mercy. Psalm 33:18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Hope in his mercy. It's my opinion, hoping in his mercy is an Old Testament way of saying trusting in his salvation. The mercy is taken care of by the sacrifice of Christ. Psalm 103:11-17, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. That's forever. Upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Everlasting mercy must be the same as eternal salvation. A fifth blessing, God gives you good return for your efforts. Psalm 111:5, he hath given meat. The Hebrew word here is prey, like the meat you got when you went out to the hunt, you see. Unto them that fear him, he will ever be mindful of his covenant. Good old John Calvin said, God had given his people all that was needful, and that considered as a portion. He takes this idea of the prey as God giving us the proper portion. It was large and liberal, For we know that the people of Israel were enriched, not in consequence of their own industry, but by the blessing of God, at the taking of them out of Egypt. The people bestowed upon them bundles of gold and silver and jewels and so on. Not because of their work, but because by the blessing of God, who, like the father of a family, bestows upon his household everything necessary for their subsistence. This is God providing for his children. The sixth blessing, God gives you fatherly counsel. Psalm 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant, his promises. J.A. Alexander said this, the word translated secret, the secret of the Lord is with them, means originally a company of persons sitting together. Then familiar, and the word familiar, even family, conversation, then confidential intercourse, the old word meaning exchange of conversation, intimacy, friendship, and then a confidence or secret. All of this implied in that word. And this is what the secret of the Lord, the counsel of the Lord is with them that fear him. Psalm 145:19, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. So he's listening, watching, taking care of his own. The seventh, God remembers you. Malachi 3:16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. Oh, strange phrase, isn't it? And that thought upon his name. He created a book of remembrance. Now, I don't take this literally. I don't expect to find a scrapbook up there with my name on it. This would be in the mind of God, who knows everything. But these words indicate God especially collected memories about me. As my mother kept a scrapbook of me to remember my childhood, so God keeps a book of remembrance. What a loving father. Eight, God gives you light and healing, just as you would your children. Malachi 4:2. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun, notice the spelling, the sun of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. This is the sun dawning upon the earth. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, as cared for animals. Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? The servant would be the preacher. That walketh in darkness and hath no light. Which of you that are paying attention to what God gives you is walking in the darkness? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Stay upon his God. Isaiah points out this impossible situation. You fear your father God. You obey the teachers that he sent to educate you. It is impossible for you, unlike the unbeliever, to walk in the darkness of ignorance. God has worked pretty hard at putting together an entire Bible to give you the light which preserves you, that heals you. And the ninth one is this, God saves up goodness for you. You don't get everything he has for you here and now. Psalm 31:19. Oh, how great, the psalmist is amazed, is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. In the same way, Jesus spoke of the mansions in heaven, remember? He pledged to go prepare a place for us. This pledge, this laying up for us that fear him, encompasses all of heaven to come. An important promise. But it's not only spiritual blessings. Let me share with you six earthly blessings, taking care of us while we're here, that our Father promises us. God tells us that we do not need to wait until heaven to receive the blessings of entry into the family of God. Number one is this. You'll have no lack of temporal goods. He says, Psalm 34, 9 and 10, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. We'll talk about the word want. The young lions do lack, suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want, will not suffer lack, any good thing. Spurgeon says this, Jehovah will not allow his faithful servants to starve. He may not give luxuries, but the promise binds him to supply necessities, and he will not run back from his word. Many whims and wishes may remain unfulfilled, but real wants, real needs, the Lord will supply. God does not allow his children to roam the neighborhood begging for food. Now, sometimes you will have a problem and I'll bring you a bag of groceries. But that's God. God doing that through his own. The second earthly blessing, you will be satisfied. So much of the world is unsatisfied. Everything they're counting on to satisfy them doesn't satisfy. Proverbs 15:16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Pick treasure and trouble or peace and low things. John Gill said this, if a man has but little of worldly substance, yet if he has the fear of God in his heart and before his eyes, that fear, which has God for its author and for its object, and for which itself is a treasure, and may be here put, meaning here it is used as a synonym for all grace. Fearing the Lord is grace, it's our salvation. For the riches of grace saints are partakers of, such a man's little is better than another man's abundance without the fear of the Lord. True satisfaction in your life comes with the inner relationship with God, not with the prestige of worldly pleasure and power. The third earthly blessing, you'll have wealth and riches. Psalm 112, 1 and 3. Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Verse 3 says, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. So we begin to see here that it refers to the spiritual wealth. There's an interesting concept that what is wealth supposed to bring you? Peace of mind? A guarantee of future ease? Who has that? Only the Christian, you see. So pretty much wealth and riches. We have what everybody's seeking for, but they don't know. The fourth, you will lead a simple, decent life. It's amazing how many of the operas were written about subterfuge and seduction and murder and all these things. And this was the thing that captured the people's attention back at that time, and I suppose all the exciting movies are doing the same thing. But here's his promise. Follow me, you'll lead a simple, decent life. Psalm 128, 1-4. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. God gave us work to keep us busy, fruitful. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Angie puts on Facebook a picture of my favorite family. It was her family. What did you expect? I was sad to see you were at McDonald's, but oh, really? I thought I saw McDonald's on that cup. Okay, I've brightened my whole look at Hardee's. But the point of it is that how wonderful to see. You know, what's better than that? And this is the fruit of fearing the Lord as our Father. The fifth, you will live safely. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. His children shall have a place of refuge. See the parallel between the children and the fearing. I was reading, actually listening to a rant by a person from TV. It was talking about, his name is Comey. I don't follow all of that, but it's just come up that, you know, he was with the FBI, right? Put the memo out to pardon Mrs. Clinton when all the evidence hadn't even begun to come in yet. You know, she was saying, prosecute this guy. Now, I bring him up just for this. You will never have that problem if you live life according to God. You will have ups and downs. The path will be difficult sometimes and easy sometimes, but you will never be in the thorns and the briars and the pits and the stones. You will never be there because the path of God doesn't lead that way. You will not stand before a crowd and say, I was unfaithful to my wife. Because God's path doesn't lead that way, see. You will never have that pain. You will live safely. The child relationship gives a confidence in our Father's overriding care. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. It is life affirming. He that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil, calamity, with destruction. In our loving fear of God, we follow his fatherly advice. We find that it keeps us away from the trials of the sinful world. And the sixth blessing is this: you will have prolonged days. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth, addeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. This isn't a guarantee that you'll live a long time, but it means that certainly God determines the length of every individual's life, but generally, on the whole, walking in obedience to his way gives us the best and longest life that our bodies have in them. I wanted to share with you, before we close, the meaning of fearing God. In a practical sense, we've dealt with it in the conceptual sense. So first of all, as we focus on God, it is a reverential and fatherly fear. Having reverence, respect. Listen to Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, our land is not subject to bankruptcy and all that. This is our heavenly kingdom. We receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence. The meaning of this word is the feeling of moral repugnance to doing a dishonorable act. And godly fear. The word here meaning caution, circumspection, discretion. This is how we are to live. Being dishonorable to our God, Joseph replying to the seductive wife of Potiphar said, how can I sin against my master, your husband, and God, you see? It was a dishonorable thing. He wouldn't do it. And godly fear, caution, circumspection, discretion. And I bring this up because Christ had that fear of God. Can you imagine Christ having a cringing fear, a fearful fear? But Hebrews 5, 7, who, Christ, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. That's the Father-Son relationship personified. The meaning of fearing God then is not only a reverential and fatherly fear, but as we focus on self, it is rejecting self-love. Our focus is on him, not on us. It is the humble fear that distrusts self, places trust alone in our Father. Listen to Romans 11:20. Well, because of unbelief, they, the Jews, were broken off. And thou, the Gentiles, standest by faith. Now listen to this contrast. Be not high-minded, proud, but fear. This fear is the humility to listen to God and not focus on self. Philippians 2:12-13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Notice this, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation with fear. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In this case, the fear is almost the fear of doing it myself, trying to do it myself. Rather, it's trusting in God, which works in you both to will and to do, to want to and to accomplish his good pleasure. I want to please God, you say, but I don't think I can. Well, that's good. Work out your own salvation with fear, because it's God doing it all. The third thing that I'd like to share is living a life that shows your loving fear of God. There are four ways that you can show your fear of God in your life. First, show your hatred of sin. Hatred, you say, that's a harsh word. That's what God made hatred for. Don't hate people, hate sin. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, here's the evil he's talking about. Pride, arrogancy, the evil way, the froward mouth, do I hate. Stir yourself up not to be enticed by evil, but to hate it. See it for what it is. It's death dealing. It is bringing destruction upon people. The horrors of pornography is looking at people who have given their lives to such wickedness. And I don't know, admiring them or something. A second way is to show by refusing to offend your Father. How has he loved you? Proverbs 16:6, by the mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. We're there. We're in the midst of it. We've participated in it. We're seduced by it. Let's depart from that. Let's move away from that. Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes. This is what gets you into trouble. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Remember the example of Job, Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed, departed from, avoided evil. God said, this man got it. The third way to show your fear, loving fear of the Lord, show your care for others. Duplicate his love in your life. Leviticus, we're back to the law here, 19:14. Thou shalt not curse the deaf. What does it matter? They can't hear me. Nor put a stumbling block before the blind. What a mean thing to do. Instead, thou shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. Fear here says, I'm going to care for these people. Not curse them, put stumbling blocks when they can't help themselves. The fourth way is show you withhold nothing from God. I surrender all. If we could live by that song, we'd have it. This is our link to stewardship. Why I'm bringing it in this month. Remember Abraham. Genesis 22, 12. He tied his son up and laid him, the only son he had, left him ready on the altar, ready to plunge the knife. And he, God, said to Abraham, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. Why? For now I know that thou fearest God. How does he know that? Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. What will you withhold from God? When you answer that, you'll be saying where you do not fear the Lord. If he asks for it, you say, take it. You say, what if he doesn't ask? What if he just takes? That's him doing it. We determine to love nothing in this life so much that we refuse to dedicate it or even sacrifice it to God. I saw God take my parents. They had lived long, happy lives. But it was not pleasant to see them. We saw one of our little babies lost before he was basically born. But God took him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How opposite was this case of Ananias and Sapphira, you remember, in the early church? They pretended to love God. We're going to give you everything we have. But they loved money more, so they kept some back. They lied to God, thinking they were only lying to man. You say, I'm not there yet, Pastor. Okay, I understand. So number four, I close. How do we develop the fear of God? It's pretty basic. First, enter into a family relationship with your Heavenly Father. Get saved. Psalm 36:1, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes. What's characteristic of the unsaved is that they don't fear God. They have no fear of God before their eyes. They don't calculate the fear of God. They should fear him, but they don't calculate it. They don't put it before their eyes. Romans 3:18, talking about the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So, to gain the fear that comes, fatherly fear, take him as your father. Accept the sacrifice of Christ. Enter into the family relationship. And then, the second and last point, receive it from God. Receive that loving fear from God. Receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Jeremiah 32:40. I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good. But I will, in this salvation thing, I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. This is how you get the fear of God. Get saved. And then, once you're saved, learn God's word. You might have got saved, but you're not spending the time listening to what he says. Deuteronomy 4:10. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, Mount Sinai, when the Lord said unto thee, gather me the people together, I will make them hear my words. Why? That they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their children. Understand things from God's point of view, and you will fear him. Deuteronomy 17:19. And it shall be with him that he shall read therein, this book that the king was to write of the law. He will read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. And it's not merely reading as though you're doing a deed that has to be done and then, okay, now I'm done with that. Rather, it's also deeply meditating on the Word of God, weighing what the words mean, asking yourself, how does this affect me? Proverbs 2, 3, 4, and 5. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, be the person who's trying to learn something, cry after knowledge, and lift up thy voice for understanding, plead for it. If thou seekest her as silver, how busy are people doing that? And searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Not just about God, but the knowledge of God. You become his. Dwell in it, cry after it, seek after it, chew on it, meditate on the Word of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we recognize this morning that the fear of the Lord is not us just standing in cringing fear of a mighty power above us. But as we have loved our loving Father on earth, so we are to love thee forever as our God in heaven. That fear we understand. That fearing that is loving and serving and respectful and seeks above all things to keep us from dishonoring you. This we understand. And this, Father, we need. For, Father, there may come a time when the need of fellow Christians, the need of others are so great that we will have to say, then I need to give. That there will be some call that you make that says, I am going to take this from you. And we will have to learn to say, out of loving fear to my Father, I will say yes and I will withhold nothing that he asks. With heads bowed, eyes closed, would you say, Pastor, I need to develop the fear of God. I need to understand it. I need to emphasize that in my life. The loving fear of my Father God. God helping me, that's my plea. That's my purpose. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up all over the building? Yes, amen. Amen. Thank you. Father, then we pray for these, that you might take them close to you, you being greater than the sum of all things. Take them to yourself. And as they stand dwarfed by your power, by your ability, by your knowledge, they are also embraced by your love. And therefore, when you say to do something, we will do it first and try to understand it later. We will obey with a sweet spirit, with a loving heart. As Abraham imagined that the very death of his son that you had promised to him would be counteracted by a resurrection from the dead. So we may say, you will do no wrong if you take from us what we were counting on. I ask that you might help us to grow in our loving fear of you as our Father, and recognize that nothing that you do to us or have accomplished in us is out of hatred or meanness or even carelessness. But you are asking us to do more than we thought we could, and we will withhold nothing from thee. And so, Father, we commit this to you with hearts full of love and thanksgiving for what you've done. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.